Yes, they are happening. Much like Justin Timberlake's clothes or Britney Spears' belly.
I know I'm a good mom.
But when?
Tuesday, November 20th and the 27th, Railway Club. Doors at 9 in the evening. Any more questions, punk?
That is so amazing.
Hardcore guitar solo music insert.
Hey, Quentin and Dave from Chips with Everything.
Hey, Heather from Queer FM, what's up?
Well, you know how Bryce, our program director here at CITR, has kind of been riding all of our asses about making promos for our shows?
Cha! Yes!
Well, you know, I was thinking, like, over at the CBC, they have this woman named Promo Girl, and she comes on once an hour and tells everybody what's coming up, and it's usually kind of theatrical, and she has, like, a really sexy voice and stuff. So anyway, I was thinking that I'd really like to have a promo boy, or like, promo boys. Would you guys be up for that?
Sure. What do we have to do?
Just tell people about Queer FM, really.
Okay.
Queer FM features news, views, current affairs, arts and music. For, of course, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender communities and all its allies. Heather Kitchen hosts Queer FM Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Keep that hand away from the dial.
You're exactly where you want to be. You've landed with Julia Saunders and Caroline McGillivray in Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe, just maybe you're one of our online listeners, and I hope we haven't had to tie you up and strap you down so that you listen to the show at CITR.ca. And if you ever miss a show, perhaps you can download that podcast at Juicebox Radio. You like it, though. I know you like it.
I like it. This is the new and improved entrance to the show. It's very good.
Well, I hope we don't have to tie people up and gag them to listen to our show. I hope they do it willingly.
They'll love it, every minute of it, if they do get tied up.
Actually, you know what? Next time we do one of those... Oh, schmuck. Next time we do one of those drives for the station to raise money, maybe we should offer to tie somebody up and force them to listen to every single podcast that we do.
I think that sounds more like heaven to me. Anyway, all right. So here we are, back in the box.
Lots of money. In the box. I love it.
And we have some fabulous guests tonight, don't we, Caroline?
We do.
Do you want to talk about them? Because they're kind of your guests.
I think so. We've got the wonderful Jillian Deary on tonight, and she's been doing a lot of research, and it's kind of a follow-up from our show last week, actually.
She's been doing a lot of research. She's been doing like 10, 12 years or 15 years of research for her PhD. My God.
I know. It's
and apparently
impressive.
It's about jealousy.
Jealousy.
Which is kind of an offshoot from last week's show.
It's a huge offshoot from last week's show, so
very
it's
good choice
perfect.
Of guest. Very good choice.
Well, thank you.
So welcome, Jillian.
Well, thank you.
And she's also brought a guest with her.
Yes, a surprise guest. Isn't this a surprise?
I love it.
Jillian brought her partner, AJ. Hi, AJ. Thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Hi.
All right, so?
So, with that, last week we were chatting all about the cheating, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so one of the key points that kept coming up, as we were saying, is jealousy, which is why Jillian is absolutely perfect for being on this week, because she is doing her PhD on jealousy and polyamory. So I just thought it'd be really good.
And we've all sort of experienced the green-eyed monster, which kind of lurks under the surface, as you so brilliantly produced on the show here.
Or sometimes it just all of a sudden pops, emerging above the surface.
Many of us have experienced this in the world of monogamy, but you could imagine in the world of polyamory, where there's more than one love in your life.
Yes.
Where jealousy may rear its ugly head quite a bit more.
Where there's
often.
More than one partner casting an admiring glance at someone else, or perhaps spending a little too much time with someone else. Maybe people have cheated. Maybe they haven't. I don't know. But how does it work when one has more than one partner? How does it?
I don't know. Well, we're going to find out tonight on the show, because Jillian and AJ are going to be talking about that, and Jillian is researching and writing about this very topic herself. So if there's any questions you'd like to ask us or them throughout the hour, please do so at 604-822-2487. That is 604-UBC-CITR. I'm not going to let you do it this time because you always mess it up.
I'm very dyslexic when it comes to numbers. I just don't understand, which is why everything is on speed dial for me. Oh, which is brilliant. So if you do get tied up so you have to watch the show, you can just lean over and hit the button with your nose. So then that way you can call in. Sorry, but I'll stop laughing before.
Okay, like, this is becoming the Julia and Caroline show again. Can we get
it's
going?
It's not, actually. Okay. Julia, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It's awesome to have you here. I have to say, I'm a virgin when it comes to polyamory, but I am definitely not a stranger to jealousy, because I think I've told you it's my birthday tomorrow, and I'm a total Scorpio girl cusp. So Scorpios are renowned for their jealousy, and I don't know. It's just like, I don't know that much about polyamory, and Julia's laughing at me right now because of my spelling in this script. So because I am like a really terrible speller, Jillian's laughing too. But anyways, for those listening here laughing, just the fact last night when we were chatting about polyamory, and I kind of confused it with polygamy, probably says a lot right there, which maybe some of our listeners might have that misconception, because I know I'm very naive and I'm self-confessed dizzy, crazy girl sometimes. And I don't know, maybe that might be something we should start talking about actually right from the get-go. What is the difference between polyamory and polygamy?
Well, that's a very fair question. You're not the first one to ask it. Polygamy means when one man marries more than one woman.
Okay. And there's a gender specification to it, as well as a long history. Like, Bountiful will come up, and it was in the news today.
Bountiful, British Columbia, in the news quite a bit in the last couple of years.
And especially today, there was that whole thing about him finally going to jail about the 14-year-old girl and marrying her off to, I can't remember how old the partner was. I want to say 53, but I don't know if that's correct or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of scary stuff.
Anyway, disgusting behavior going on in Bountiful, yes?
Well, I also don't want to judge Bountiful because there's a lot of people who do believe in it strongly, and a lot of women do come out of it and have positive things to say. So
that's true.
So
she's very well spoken, this guest. I'm glad we have her on. There's just Julia telling her very, very opinionated opinions.
Well, it's true. There's more than one side to it. But polyamory does distinguish itself from polygamy, and polyamory sort of emerged in the 60s as a response to the free love movement, where which was saying sex should be free, everyone should sleep with whoever they want to, there's no emotions connected to sex. And it was sort of, you know, popular with the hippies and that. And so this woman, Morning Glory Zell.
I love that name.
For real. She coined the word polyamory in a response to say that for her, love is very connected to her sexual experiences. And so she wanted to stress having more than one relationship and not just sex on the side. So that's why poly, many, loves, amory. So polyamory, so many loves. And it does strive to be a very feminist response, like honesty is central, non-possessiveness, and negotiations and full consent with all parties involved. That's one of what it really strives for. And with it doesn't have a gender constraint. So a woman can have many, many female lovers, male lovers, either way. So that's sort of how it separates from polygamy. Yeah.
That's cool.
Very well spoken. Mm-hmm. I mean, I basically, you got on the Morning Glory Zell. Did you get this from Jillian?
I didn't, actually. I got this from your notes.
Well, I guess we both know what we're talking about, Jillian, because basically all the notes that Caroline pulled together for me from my old notes from my last shows on polyamory basically say everything you just said. So I'm not going to bother going over that. Very well said, though. And I think the Mormons who are up in Bountiful.
Yeah.
I'm just going to refrain from judging too much myself tonight. But
no comment.
But yes, there's been the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints does secretly promote the concept of polygamy.
Polygamy.
And it started back in the 1800s, you know. Joseph Smith, the guy who started the Book of Mormon, he's the one who was the big on that stuff. So he kind of got it going on. And the practice is sort of also called the Law of Abraham, the Patriarchal Order of Marriage, Celestial Plural Marriage, or the Law of the Priesthood. So these are all some Church of Latter-day Saints kind of secret cult activities that go on. We're not going to talk about religion on the show tonight, though, so we will get to the fact that we are talking about polyamory tonight, and we're going to be talking about jealousy quite a bit later on the show as well, so.
Definitely.
Right.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I just think it's really neat. You've touched on a lot of things about what it is. Yeah, there's this one really neat article that that Julia actually pulled from the Journal of Human Sexuality by Derek McCullough and David S. Hall, who's a PhD. And there's some neat things in here. Some of it you've already touched on, so it's cool.
Are you familiar with these researchers from the Journal of Human Sexuality?
No, I'm
just
not.
Figured maybe you'd heard of McCullough and Hall. Well, they talk about polyamory, saying that they're polyamorous, say their philosophy is nothing more than a straightforward acceptance and celebration of the realities of human nature.
Mm. What do you
guys
think?
So that's saying that the realities of human nature are not monogamous.
Well, I disagree right there. I think human nature is a really shaky concept, and we try to say what is natural about humanity. And I think everything from birth is socialized. So really to say that anything is natural, to say that if you look at the animal kingdom and see how they do it, that should tell us what nature is. But that's not true. Every species is different. And so I don't think so. I think a lot of people, nature, nurture, who knows? But I think, so yeah, I question that we're non-monogamous by nature. Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
I think that humans are non-monogamous by nature. That's kind of my bend on it. I don't know. I've been talking about it for a long time with a lot of people over the years, and I think if we're really, really desperately honest with ourselves, that it's fun to have sex with and love more than one person at once. And, you know, I think that we try to strive to be monogamous, but I think, you know, it's something that we do because we think it's of our higher order or, you know, maybe more spiritually evolved or whatever the case may be if you're kind of arguing for monogamy.
I'd like to add something.
AJ would like to speak. Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I think that, you know, one could argue for a really long time that we're naturally non-monogamous or we're naturally anything. I think sometimes researchers use the natural argument as an excuse for something they already want to do. And what I would say is that I totally agree with what Jillian said, but I would add that as humans, we're much more than just our instincts. We do a lot of things for a lot of reasons, and our sexuality is complicated. It isn't just biological. We do all kinds of non-reproductive sexual behaviors because we enjoy it, because it's fun. We don't need the excuse of human nature. We do it because we're complicated creatures who like to do a lot of interesting things. Mm-hmm. We don't need that excuse, you know?
Right. Very good point.
That's a really good point.
I think it also might be interesting to add, too, that monogamy can shift over a lifetime. And some people think that serial monogamy is actually a form of polyamory. Because monogamy should mean marriage to one person for life. And so it might be interesting to...
Well,
maybe I have dabbled in polyamory then, because I've definitely experienced serial monogamy where it's one to one to one to one to one.
So. And I think there's a bit of a bridging of like the romantic kind of flirtation and or dating that might go between the actual sexual acts that you start to have with the serial monogamy. I mean, a lot of people I know are kind of doing that back-to-back thing, or that they kind of spur some new interest before they... End a last relationship, of which they still are in love with that person, and then they kind of start dating somebody else, and then it kind of continues on as we go. I mean, so I don't know. I mean, when I first read this article, this is from the Human Sexuality Journal 2003, so it's not that old. He also says that the researchers talk about how polyamorists say that sex is not the enemy, that the real enemy is the deceit and betrayal of trust that results from trying to shoehorn our natural selves into a rigid, unnatural social system.
Oh, that's interesting.
Any comments?
The deceit and betrayal of trust that we're kind of trying to get into something, trying to be something that we're not.
Yeah. Well, I think what's true there is that sex is loaded in a way, like because of our society, and it comes to represent a lot of things. I think if trust is really strong with a partner and you can really trust what they say and you can trust yourself in it, it does make poly a lot easier. So I do agree there.
Okay. Polyamorists say that sex is a positive force if applied with honesty, responsibility, and trust. And polyamorists do not have to individually meet every need of each partner. They have help. If your wife loves the opera and you dislike it, maybe one of her lovers will enjoy taking her to hear it. If he is also a computer whiz and helps fix your computers when they don't behave, you're a very lucky person.
Well, maybe I should do that next time I date a football player, hey? And I'll never have to go to any of the games.
But so, I also think, I mean, a friend could take you to the opera. You don't have to sleep with them for them to be an adequate companion.
But the point is that I'm just reading right off of the article. But I think that there's a good point there. And that is, I mean, you can think about your friends, too. Like, we don't just all rely on one person to fulfill our every need. Obviously, that would be a really big mistake for any of us to do that. But, you know, so I think that kind of goes hand in hand. For me, polyamory also talks about multiple friendships. Like, you'd have a very close friendship with multiple friends. Like, you might sleep over and have cuddle nights and whatever. You don't necessarily have to be having sex to be in love, do you? These two are pointing at each other. What's going on?
She's laughing. She's accusing me. And I'm not going to get into it. No comment.
Okay, there's a lot of inside jokes happening here. You two have only done silk practice twice, and now you're just best friends. Am I supposed to be, like, jealous?
Oh,
we're going to talk about
you.
So kidding. We're going to talk about the jealousy thing in the second half of the show. I feel like a bit of a goof tonight. I feel like I just can't get myself serious at all here.
It's okay. I think all right. It's because there's four of us, so it's turning into a chick night, and it's a good way.
All right, I'm going to read through this, and you girls just interject if you have something interesting to say, okay?
All right, yeah.
Polyamorous say that love is an infinite, not a finite commodity.
Yeah.
An example of this is with children. When my oldest daughter was born, I loved her with every ounce of my being. When my son was born, I found that I didn't have to give him half a love, half of each of them, half love each. I could love them both fully. Mm. My third child is loved as much, if not more, than the other two. This also applies to friends. When you meet someone new, you don't have to think about who you're going to drop off to make them fit. Well, I kind of do, but anyway, as a woman, I only have room for so many friends. As a woman said when explaining why she chose polyamory, I refuse to accept the myth that I have to stop loving one person before I start loving another.
Yeah, okay. I think that's...
We're agreeing with this?
I do agree with
okay.
that. I think the idea of scarcity is really strong, especially in our liberal and capitalist culture, where we think everything is limited. And so that's a really important Western idea of a finite quantity of love. And everything has a scarcity. So, yeah.
Mm. And I think that kind of speaks to the jealousy thing. I think we'll probably... I bet you're going to weave some of that in there. All right. I'm excited about the second half of the show. All right. So then it says... polyamorous say that loving someone else does not give you the right to control that person's behavior. I think that's true. Yeah. Polyamorous say that jealousy is not innate, inevitable, and impossible to overcome. But they deal with jealousy often, usually successfully. There's a new term for the opposite of jealousy. Get ready for this one, everyone. Compersion. I know I've been talking about it for years, but I'm sure if you're just listening to Juicebox for the first time, you may never have heard this word. Compersion is the feeling of joy that comes from knowing that the one you love is well-loved by someone else. And it has nothing to do with you. And you actually feel joy from that. What do you think about the word compersion? I'm sure it's not the first time you've heard this word, Jillian.
No, it's not.
AJ, you've heard this word as well?
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I've experienced it.
It is. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's really telling that in our society there is no word for the opposite of jealousy. It really sort of shows where we're coming from with our monogamy as the only way to be. And I think compersion it's so important because if you can't experience it, then you're going to be miserable in poly and generally miserable in a lot of ways. Like, jealousy comes into a lot more in our life than just a romantic side.
Mm-hmm. So. Compersion is such a beautiful feeling, and I know that we probably have all felt it. You know, like somebody gives a gift to your partner or someone that you love, and is someone very close to them, like their best friend or whatever, gives them a gift that they just absolutely love and adore, and you can just see the joy in their face, and you actually feel joy in your body, even though that gift giving had nothing to do with you and is not shared, you know, necessarily between you and that person, the person that you love, and that you're not thinking, oh, I wish I could have given her that gift, or her, you know, you think, oh my God, my partner is so happy, this is so great, I feel so much joy, and that's what compersion feels like. So if you can try to imagine that, if you haven't felt that before, try that on. I think it would be a good thing to do.
I might need to use that word. I always just called it symbiotic joy. It's kind of like when I get cramps, when you get cramps.
Sympathetic, I think, is sympathetic joy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Symbiotic. I'm like, what is that? Sounds very spiritual.
I'm very off today, my love.
That's I know you're not. You're fabulous. All right, so then it says, polyamorous say that love should be unconditional rather than the monogamous proposition that I will love you on the condition that you will not love anyone else. Forsaking all others is how it is usually put.
Interesting.
And as shown in by history, monogamy and marriage are no safeguards against falling in love with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
True.
So polyamorous believe in a long-term emotional investment in relationships, and while the goal is not always achieved in poly, it is also not always achieved in monogamy. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Just want to finish this last statement. Polyamorous believe that they represent true family values and that they have the courage to live an alternative lifestyle that, while condemned by society, is satisfying and rewarding. Children can have multiple parents, and they're more likely to be better cared for and less likely to feel abandoned if someone leaves the family.
Are we talking about polygamy there or polyamorous?
Well, polyamory, I'm thinking in a shared household where maybe they're, you know, one, you know, there's maybe, say this, there's two couples, and they are having children amongst themselves. And so there's, you know, half siblings around and or whatever, or there's like, you know, adopted families that share, you know, partners or... You know, lesbian couple or gay couples have, you know, they end up having a child with whatever and share the home. I know some of my gay friends, they have that kind of arrangement where they've done, you know, one has had a biological child, the other one is adopted. They have a blended family, and or their gay friends have had another child with them or something, and they mm-hmm. all kind of live within the same block or the same home. And these kind of blended families can be quite full of love because, like, again, you know, somebody leaves or people can go on trips or they can break up and there's still going to be parents around to take care of the children that are in the home. So, anyway, I have read a bit about these blended family situations and how they can be quite good. What do you guys think? Yeah.
AJ?
Well, I have nothing against blended families. I actually was thinking about what you said earlier. You just said there was a quote about polyamorous believe that they represent true family values. Mm-hmm. I think it was mentioned before. I think Jillian mentioned it, but I just wanted to reiterate that I don't think that polyamory should be seen as superior to monogamy or a cure for monogamy that's gone bad. I think that monogamy works well for a lot of people, and that's great. More power to you if it works for you. I think people who are self-righteous about being polyamorous are knobs and they're annoying. I think that, you know, it's about being able to do what works for you and not be condemned as a result and not lose your job, you know, and you could. And if you have children, your children could be taken away from you, you know what I mean? It's polyamory has a lot in common with other minority groups just in the sense that it's still not acceptable. Mm. So, but it's not about against monogamy.
Yeah, no, I don't. I was hoping we weren't really getting to that. Was that what this say something about against monogamy?
Just the superiority in the
not always achieved
true
in
family values.
Okay, right.
I didn't know that you could lose children because of
condemned by society.
It you can be considered an unfit mother if it all depends on where you live, right? And who's willing to like take you to court and.
Yeah, well, there's some laws there for sure under the marriage thing, I think. Marital law is like they're still there, right? They have a certain, you can't marry more than one person at once. It's against the law. So, but some laws are made to be broken. Anyway, do you have some comments to make?
Well, I had a comment about a different part of that statement.
Yes, please do. Go ahead.
The idea of the unconditional love. Uh-huh. And I think in that statement, that was referring only to sex with other people, as opposed to all the other facets of love. And I think it's important to recognize that unconditional love is great and ideal, but I think that's a very individual, like every couple, every triad will have its own ideas of what that means.
Okay.
So, yeah, again, that statement does really imply a superiority of poly. Yeah. And
I'm not sure I believe in unconditional love anyway.
I don't think I believe in unconditional love. I think humans are impossible. We can't have unconditional love. The Dalai Lama, maybe he can do it. I don't know. Jesus, I think maybe he was pretty good at that.
I don't even know if we want to have that.
I don't know. Let's just sidestep unconditional love because I'm not really sure it's relevant. You know, like, is that necessary? Is that a higher form of love, you know?
Yeah,
we could have
agape, you know, the Jesus love, agape, love for humanity.
Agape, yes.
Agape.
Mm-hmm. I do think we could have a whole other show about love, and tonight's show is actually about polyamory and jealousy, so we're going to keep on that track. I think it's important. This little tidbit of information, Janet Kira Lesson, who writes this poly newsletter, says men outnumber women 3-1 registering for tantra and polyamory seminars, private tutoring, and inquiries. And this imbalance is counterintuitive because women focus more on relationships, which is the essence of both tantra and polyamory. You'd think more women would sign up for tantra and poly happenings and information on that. Yet women often perceive both tantra and polyamory as primarily sex-oriented and then rapidly dismiss them.
I thought that was really sad.
Hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm surprised by that statement too, actually.
Well, if they're talking about straight women, I mean, there could be so many intervening factors that are not said in that statement. Like, maybe women are interested in tantra, but they don't want to go to a class on tantra because they're worried there are going to be all these creepy guys hitting on them. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe,
yeah, absolutely.
Maybe
I think that's the biggest problem.
That's women's problem in general, isn't it? A lot of women might be really interested in all kinds of sexual practices, but the risks for them are greater. Yeah. They need to, so maybe they might do it if they were in a relationship with somebody. They'd go to the class together. Like, I think that sometimes straight women get a bad rap, you know, like they're anti-sex, and it's like, you know, the stakes are high in some cases.
The stakes are way higher for women. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. No, it definitely is, because it still goes back to that whole 1950s thing about just being considered a slut, you know?
Mm-hmm. And also that we get penetrated. I mean, I keep talking about this all the time. Women get penetrated, so there's a bit of a safety issue. There's like a internal body cavity safety issue. Mm-hmm.
And
I know that men have an orifice; they have their rectum, mm-hmm. but it's you know, we have both, and we also have like kind of this thing where we could be impregnated, and so there's also that issue as well. I mean, we're not just, you know, it's not just a STI risk. There's also the pregnancy risk of being raped or sexually assaulted. We're a little bit more sensitive, I think, as well, you know. But we got a vagina. I don't know. I just think there's more like this prey mentality that women have around sex. And so it's sort of hard to let go. Mm-hmm. It's hard to sort of relax and trust that there aren't going to be, as AJ so eloquently put, creepy guys at these things. It's an issue.
I can think of a creepy guy who teaches some of these seminars who scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, more comments about him?
Okay. Usually we go to a bit of a break right now, but there's this little piece of information that you pulled out that was so funny. I have to read it. So we're talking about oxytocin and how women release more oxytocin, which is sort of the love hormone that makes us want to sort of connect with each other.
It makes you want to cuddle.
And sort of nurture and all these kind of things. Men and women both have this. Oxytocin is sort of floods. What's the eyebrows raising about there,
girls?
Well,
I'm just learning a lot. Go ahead.
So basically this bonding hormone, women have more uptake in reactors in our body to sort of uptake more oxytocin than men do. Actually, men, when they ejaculate, 3 times as much oxytocin goes through their body than does women. 6 times? 5 times?
10.
10 times.
It's
but the thing
they
is
have
that
testosterone
they don't
to counterbalance it.
That's right, and they also don't have the uptake, as much uptake in their brain chemistry. So the testosterone wires men to fuck it or kill it.
I love that.
So I had to say this. Oxytocin wires women to take it home. So the testosterone says fuck it or kill it. Women say take it home. Oxytocin is part of my hardwiring that once I attach, it is very difficult to let go. And it's why I pay attention to relationships. This is why I have held on tightly to my lover as I have passed the point that my reasoning mind thought was suitable. So this is this woman, Nan Wise, who's the attachment flu, lessons in letting go and loving. Was this? This is very interesting.
It was,
I just said, yes, loving more, number 22. What is this book? Anyway, very interesting little piece, fuck it or kill it, and the oxytocin, women take it home.
I just think it's really interesting in terms of that.
And so I had to read that. Oh, sorry. Yes, Jillian, I know you're wondering what the hell am I saying.
No, I'm just wondering, is this oxytocin during orgasm or during sex?
It's oxytocin is something that's released during orgasm.
Okay.
It also helps with milk ejaculation. It's an ejaculation hormone. Hmm. So it happens during ejaculation.
Interesting.
Which is why it helps spawn mothers to their babies if they're breastfeeding.
Well, oxytocin releases with breastfeeding as well. It's what's needed to release for the ejaculation of the milk. Mm-hmm. And the ejaculation of... Women don't need to ejaculate to release oxytocin, though. But when we have our contractions that are, you know, orgasmic contractions, it does the same kind of spasms that... Yeah, anyway.
What I thought was interesting.
All this talk about ejaculating and all this. I'm getting excited.
I know, considering that I've had sex for a while.
We're going to have to go to break. I can't take it anymore.
Did you bring toys?
Okay. All right, honey, we're past break time.
I agree.
I'm the break person. Right, you do your engineering, young lady.
Actually, why don't you do the engineering? Oh. We'll go for a break. If you have any questions, you're listening to 101.9 FM, just give us a call at 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And we're about to listen to Carol Pope. And it's a song called World of One, which I thought was a little bit ironic. It's her new album.
Enjoy.
We
see things in a different light. Day is night and black is white. A little mind manipulation. Denial wrapped in adoration. In your world of one. In your world of one. I taste your candy-coated lies, and I don't register surprise. All you want is Selfish world. Selfish world.
Well-mannered cardigans, pants, jackets, and underwear.
The Friends of CITR card scores you discounts at Antisocial, Berku's Angels, and Hits Boutique.
Uzbekistan prints or Rajasthan colors.
Support CITR Radio and pick up your card today.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back. If you just joined in, you're listening to Juicebox Radio with Julia Saunders and Caroline McGillivray, and she's just laughing at me about the fact that I like saying our names over and over.
We haven't done it for this whole year we've been together, honey, but it's very cute. I like the way you say my name. It's beautiful.
Do you like it?
Now, before we left for the break, we were coming to a point. I just want to make the point really quickly before we do the juice berries, okay? Because I feel like we're going to lose the whole idea. We were talking about oxytocin and why women are a little bit less geared to these tantra poly kind of sex nights or whatever, open relationships.
The workshops and things to get to know a little bit more about it. And one of the things that we didn't mention just because we didn't get time was the fact that in terms of the oxytocin, which as we were talking about before is the cuddle hormone, some women have a little bit more testosterone in their bodies. And so they're able to, because basically a man, for example, has a bit, as we were mentioning before, has 10 times the amount of oxytocin that is released upon orgasm. Some women have, and it's combated because of the testosterone. Mm-hmm. And with the women, some women have more testosterone, so they're able to have a more comfortable and not have to combine love with sex, if that makes sense.
Okay, I see. Okay. But it's also why this is what this person is writing. Nan Y says that women have more oxytocin, lead with their hearts, and need love before they open their yonis in enthusiastic sex. Yes. And this explains why women avoid situations like tantra poly events where they perceive sex to be too casual and without commitment.
That's correct.
So that was the point there. Wanted to make sure we wrap that one up. Now, we are speaking with Jillian and AJ tonight, and we're going to be talking about jealousy in the second half of the show and a little bit more about polyamory and how that works in their relationship. But before that, we have little juice berries.
And we've got quite a few of them. November the 30th seems like it's a pretty popular night. We've got Get Ready for the Stage from Meridia Fitness, which I am actually creative producing for that. And proceeds are going to Beauty Night Society.
Fabulous.
And it should be a pretty fun show where you get to see all sorts of wonderful pole dancers doing all sorts of crazy stuff at the Penthouse.
Very enthused about their new acts that they've just been producing for themselves, right? Practicing?
Very excited about it. It's pretty cool.
Pole dancing is hot.
Pole dancing is very hot.
Super sexy.
It's very sexy. Uh-huh. Actually, I had Jillian in the studio, actually, so. Oh, never mind. Okay.
We just outed Jillian. She's becoming a pole dancer. Okay. She's doing her PhD as well.
But not in pole dancing.
No. No, that's me. But not my PhD.
You should do your PhD on pole dancing. That'd be good.
I could, but I'd actually have to go to university for that, though, wouldn't I?
Yeah. We could do a PhD in being sexy. All right.
Honorary degree.
Yes, that's right.
No problem.
Hot time in the winter, you bet your bippy baby. Now, down at the Wise Hall tomorrow night, Friday night, November 30th, 9 o'clock, go and check out, what is it, Shaboobi Bubarella's project. Make it hot. And Boobie Bubarella, Shaboobi Bubarella, she's doing her Pink Flamingo burlesque on a fabulous, exciting night. Viva Vienna La Rouge. It's going to be amazing. As Malaika Million says, what did she say? Forget your trip to Europe. Come to the show for some true cabaret and bring your parents, cousins, and grandparents. You just have to love Malaika. Why would she say such a crazy thing? She's a crazy girl. So, yeah, Wise Hall, Friday night, 9 o'clock. I think the tickets are really inexpensive. And you can do table reservations, et cetera. There'll be lots of fun and exciting things happening.
And it'll be great to see Malaika.
I will be. See her it'll after really she's nice recovered from her big surgery, having her uterus taken out. Poor girl.
I know.
I know she's happier now. She probably weighs about 7 pounds less, for sure, because that uterus has got to weigh that much.
Yeah. Well, she put it, the it girl is becoming an it. We should follow up with her and see how she's doing.
We should. I've been following up with her. She's doing fine. She just was shuffling around for a bit, but she's feeling better. And we're going to have Dr. Jones on next week as well, who was the lovely doctor who diagnosed her, sent her for the right diagnosis finally. So we're going to be talking to him. And she might call in as a little special guest, little call in just to check in with us and say hi. So that's that. Now, the second half of the show.
We're looking forward to it.
Okay.
Shall we?
Go.
Actually, you know what?
Go!
Just tell me to go. Okay. You know what I want to ask you, Ms. Julia, first of all? You've got way more experience than I do in this area. So what is your take in terms of dealing with jealousy and polyamorous relationships?
I don't know. I spent a year with Dan 3 down in Seattle, as
I
my
like
listeners
him
know.
Poly Dan.
Poly Dan, fine. Sounds like some kind of fabric. Anyway,
cleaning product.
Yeah. So no, it was challenging. He made me feel very special though when we were together. I felt like I was the most important woman in his life, and I'm sure he did that very well with his wife as well. So it was a bit of a challenging.
In what way?
It was never enough because I wasn't the only one. So I wasn't the one, the special one, the only one, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of got I got my knickers in a knot. Mind you, I had other relationships going on as well, so I had a good time.
Okay.
But it wasn't something that I think I could do long term. I don't think I'm really a polyamorous person any more so than I would be with my friends and my bisexuality and wait a minute. I think I am polyamorous. I think I'm just a one man, one woman kind of girl.
Okay.
I'd like to have one of each, and I think I'd be quite satisfied, but I've yet to find either. So here we are. All right, so let's talk to our guests because they're far more interesting than what I have to say. That's for sure.
Well, I think it's interesting. Yeah, and Jillian, when was your first experience in terms of with polyamory?
Wow. Well, my first experience wasn't really a success, so now it's working really well. But when I first tried it out, I was in my early 20s, and thought it would be really easy to just, but, yeah.
Okay. So, Jay, how about you? Any comments?
Yeah, I want you to talk
about it. What's my first experience?
Yeah.
I can't actually remember my first experience. I think I had a series of relationships where we were open, but we didn't necessarily have a well-articulated politic around it.
Okay.
Very well worded. Well articulated politics. Very good.
Mm-hmm. So I've had several open relationships, but I think that the ones I'm in right now are the most articulated and also the most committed in terms of having a polyamorous dynamic. And I probably wouldn't have called myself poly 10 years ago, even though I did have more than one partner, or I wouldn't have called them partners either. It was just a different time in my life, I think.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Well, I think it does.
Yeah. I think so, too.
So, let me see. Discuss the first times. It's very cute. I think I've been doing polyamory for probably many, many years without really knowing it. I've always been very open about what I'm doing with other people and how that's all working out, because I'm not a good liar. So I just can't help but be kind of transparent, but that's different than polyamory. I think polyamory, I like to call them polymolecules, because the people involved in the relationship should know about each other as well.
Definitely.
Which I think isn't necessarily the protocol with a lot of people that have open relationships. They kind of know that they're dating outside the relationship, or they know that the partners tend to know that there's other stuff going on, but they don't necessarily know of each other. Or
like don't ask, don't tell policy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really consider that polyamory. Do you?
No.
Okay.
I you do?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, you do.
You're right, Jillian.
I mean, it is polyamory. I personally would never do the don't ask, don't tell. That's when my imagination would go wild and jealousy would get strong. When I feel like I have all the information, I'm less likely to feel jealous. But I do know people who it works for, the don't ask, don't tell. They know other things are going on, but they never talk about it. And it works for them. So
I think that's what I would have to do. I don't know if I could hear the details about where they're going and how much fun they're having and how much they love the person and pictures and gifts. And
don't you think, though, that what you imagine in your mind is much worse than what's actually happening? Familiarity is easier. Like, when I have jealousy, it's usually because my imagination is running wild with me about what could be happening. Mm. And when I find out what's really happening, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're just human, you know? They're a human being. They're not, like, super lover, you know? And it's reassuring. More information is better. However, that doesn't mean you get all the nitty-gritty details. But just being aware of what's going
on. How many orgasms they had the night before? Is that the kind of details you don't want to know?
Me specifically?
Yeah.
No.
You want to know those details?
Jillian?
Well, yeah. I AJ likes to know.
Is that part of the fun?
There's variety. I like details, and Jillian doesn't like as many details as me. So
right.
We're different in that
so,
way.
So we work well with our double standards, and I want to know how strong AJ's emotions are for the other people, and I want to know that they're having a good time, but I don't need to know the details. And I need to know them. I need to know who they are and their level of commitment.
Get a feel for them and just sort of see the kind of person they are. Yeah.
And I know AJ's other partner very well. We're quite good friends. So.
Oh, good. I was very good friends with Polly Dan's wife.
That's right.
We exchanged gifts and cards and phone conversations and emails. And whenever I went to see him down where he lives, I would spend time with her as well. And we'd have our alone time, and then we'd have dinners out together and stuff. So it was really quite beautiful and very transparent and very full of love, actually. All of us were enjoying ourselves, and she felt very good about me and trusted me. And it was a very important part of her comfort, was that she could know that I wasn't after her partner. I wasn't going to try to take him away from her in any way, shape, or form, that I respected their marriage and everything else.
So
it was a bit trippy, though.
That work when you're out for dinner with them, was he more cuddly with her or with you when he's out with both of you?
When we were together with the three of us, it was absolutely like she was, wife number one.
How does it work with you two when you're with AJ's other partner?
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think usually we know who's on the main date and who's on the
understood
as the guest, the friend guest. I don't think, and I think having that prior negotiation prior to being all together helps work it out. Because usually, he lives out of town, so if we're in the other town,
it's easy to plan ahead.
Yeah,
because
fair enough.
None of us live together.
Okay.
And Jillian and I are very much, we have, even though we live in the same city, we're very much into having dates. So we don't just like fall together, you know. So it's very easy to say, tonight I'm on a date with this person, tonight I'm on a date with you. So if I'm on a date with one, then I'm date-like with that person and not with the other. Although we've all been at parties together, and I'm definitely going to like grab Jillian and hug her and stuff, but I'm not going to make out with her. But I'm also not going to make out with my other partner in front of Jillian, because that just feels disrespectful. So there's affection, but there's no, we're not sexual in front of each other.
I like that.
All very interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Love this stuff. I just could do an entire show just having guest after guest in poly relationships and how they do these sort of dance, how they do the dance of intimacy with each other. And different as the day is new.
It is. It's neat.
Right? All right.
So it all comes down to communication, doesn't mm-hmm. it?
Yep.
So would that be right from the day one? Like, is... Actually, you know what I should ask right before this is, like, even though I know each relationship's completely different, and even just listening to everybody here and your experiences, it's totally different. Is there certain, like, classic mishaps that, like, do happen sometimes that can lead to jealousy? Like, you mentioned before in terms of honesty and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Is there a possibility of being too honest? Would that be a classic mishap, perhaps? Like, you know, like...
What are some of them? Just let them answer. Some classic mishaps.
Well, what we were talking about last night, actually, is I think you asked me what is one of the best ways to get over jealousy, and I just said honesty. It's really simple, but I think hearing the truth is so much easier than hearing a lie. And I think a lot of times people in poly relationships try to cushion what they're saying and sort of tell a half-truth or sort of beat around the bush and say something that they don't really mean to save their partner's feelings. Mm. And I think that breaks trust. And that is probably the biggest mishap. Mm. Your partner loves you, and they can feel it. They can see when the truth isn't all there, and that's what's going to break it apart. I think that's like one of those first statements we were talking about in the first half of the show.
Yeah.
And really, what's the point of having a relationship if you're only going to give half yourself, if you're going to have to lie, you know? So
yeah, good point.
And also... The other thing was being honest with yourself, too. Because mm-hmm. I think when people all often lie to themselves about, oh, it was just a fuck, it was
that's okay,
not...
That's okay, you can say that.
Okay. It was not an emotional thing. But if you really are falling for them, like, don't lie to yourself. Because I think that's when things break down, too.
AJ, you look like you might have something to contribute.
Well, I really liked what Jillian said. Of course I would. But I was just thinking about something else, just not related to she and I, but rather I think that sometimes a pitfall for people in poly is people want to be poly because they think it's a really good idea politically, and it's where their values are, and they think it's a feminist thing, and so they are poly for perhaps the wrong reason. Like, it might not be working for them, but they're going to make it work for them because they think it's the right idea, even though it's hurting them. That's what I was thinking of. That could be a pitfall if you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Okay.
You know, for you. Because you think you should, not because it's what works for you. Mm-hmm. And it takes, I'm 40 years old. It takes years to figure out what you want sexually and what you want relationship-wise. We're all... still growing up, right?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I'm pushing 40 myself, and I'm just starting to figure it out.
You're mentioning, AJ, 10 years ago that you wouldn't have called what open relationships poly. In hindsight, would you have called any of them polyamorous, or was that part of the growing pattern in terms of figuring out what you need, in terms of figuring out how to structure a relationship in a really healthy way?
Well, I wouldn't have called them poly mainly because the term wasn't really
available.
That common in those days, so okay. It wasn't as much a part of my lexicon, that's all. They certainly would fall under the rubric of poly. But it also was where my head was at, too. Like, now, for me, and it's different for different people, poly is more about my identity than about whether I'm actually in a relationship with more than one person. It's how I want to live my life.
Okay.
So it's not, I could be dating one person, but I would still consider myself polyamorous. So it's more about who I am and not about a de facto description of my dating history, if you will. And I think 10 years ago, I wouldn't have as strongly identified with that. Took me a while to figure out that that's what I like and that's what I want. At this point in my life, right? People change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is fluid. I mean, that's something I'm always saying. Sexuality and, you know, our sexuality is completely fluid. It changes over our lifetime, back and forth, all over the place. How we act on it may seem on the outside to stay the same, but our actual sexuality is totally fluid. It's always changing. And if you can be honest with yourself, as you were saying, Jillian, that one of the hardest things to do is to be honest with ourselves, mm-hmm. Then you will notice that our behavior will also be as fluid. And you know, often we will go back and forth from being hetero-homo, whatever, poly-monogamous, you know, things. If we allow ourselves to be truly honest, you would probably find that there'd be a lot more shifts and changes than we sort of show the world outside and what we show to our lovers in our lives. So if only we had the strength to be honest with ourselves and our lovers, wouldn't this world be wonderful? Oh,
maybe.
I'm just getting all excited. All right, so this is we got 5 minutes. What are we going to do with 5 minutes?
Well, I'm just going to say, well, you know, we're talking about it would be great if we were really honest and stuff like that. Is that a perfect world concept? And is that something you might want to start with a relationship with, is talking about what it would be in terms of a perfect world?
Like, interesting. We also didn't answer the question of, is there such thing as too much honesty, which you asked earlier, too.
That's true.
Yes,
good
thank
point.
You,
which
thank you.
Connects to with the perfect world. Too honest, for sure, I think.
That's like full disclosure you're talking about, perhaps.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think we don't always want full disclosure, too. I think you need to find the balance in what you want to hear. Like, you can say things just to hurt somebody out of honesty, and you can say things because it actually builds on your relationship and brings you somewhere, like constructive criticism versus just malicious, oh, yeah, well, I did this, you know, sort of thing. So
that's our next DJ. Don't worry, ladies.
That's Hans.
I mean, right.
Well, and there's honesty for venting, which is pretty self-serving and can be cruel. Mm-hmm. And then there's honesty because
it's going to benefit.
You're hoping it's going to benefit your relationship. I've certainly been accused of being a bull in a china shop in that I am. I'll say what I think, and then I'll realize afterwards that maybe I could have worded that better.
Mm.
You know, although it's not coming from a place of a desire to be cruel or anything, but I think that, you know, the truth doesn't have to be all or nothing, you know.
Okay, yeah. So we have several really good questions here. How do you find the perfect structure? How can trust be developed? What is too much information? How do you negotiate that? Is there such thing as, well, we already asked that one. What if one partner decides they would like sexual exclusivity? How do you find people who feel comfortable being in a poly relationship? This is coming from self-confessed to a monogamist. That would be
me.
That would be, yes. Any tips on combating jealousy or alleviating it before it shows up? So all of these questions are very good questions that would probably take another hour to answer. And then we get to the jealousy, how to overcome it. So I think we're going to have to ask Jillian and perhaps AJ, if she's interested, to come back and do another show because we've run out of time. So
would you guys like that?
I'd love to. That'd be awesome. Dr. Jones is coming next week, so we can't bump him. But if you'd like to come the following week, then we can continue this conversation. And those people listening to the podcast 2 weeks from now can just jump right to that show and get continuation on this conversation. Because this is very well developed, honey. And I love the questions, and they're very rich and meaningful. And I think that we'll have a chance to talk about them on another show and get onto these other jealousy bits, because I'm dying to know how to overcome jealousy myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dying for 2 weeks to go by so that we can have Jillian and her PhD brain on jealousy come back and talk on Juicebox. So,
with AJ as well.
Oh, with AJ, of course. AJ, these words you're throwing out. I even wrote a note, well-articulated politic. I mean, I just think that was so sexy. I'm going to put that on my blog. I'll have to quote you. It'll be like, AJ, personal communication, blah, blah, blah. But nobody will know who that is. But anyway.
That's okay with me.
All right.
Well, thanks for having us.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much, both of you. Next time will be much more serious, so I promise. I'm just in a giggly mood today because Caroline made me giggly before the show because she was really making me laugh so much.
Thank you.
And you're just a cutie. And it's your birthday tomorrow, so I'm excited about that, too. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I guess since you're engineering, little Miss Driving Seat, you get to do the work, and I'm going to just
Juice
sit here
Box
and do
the... Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion
Thank
is
you.
Advised.
I
almost done. Okay. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Caroline and I and AJ and Jillian will be back in a couple of weeks. Caroline and I will be back next week with Dr. Jones, Dr. Hugh. And it's not Hugh, our usual.
It's not Hugh Direction.
It's not Hugh Direction. No.
Our usual long time. He hasn't called for a while.
Hugh, are you okay? Usually you call every week. Anyway, next week, another fresh and live The Juice Box. In the meantime, you can email Caroline or I at julia@juiceboxradio.com. Now, I'm sure you heard us react to Marion coming in the house because he's so hot and he's wearing a really, really sexy costumey jacket thing tonight.
I love his shoes, and as you know, I am a shoe girl.
All right, so he's going to guide us into the wee hours with his super sexy hot voice. Would you just get the engineering
going?
I'm going
to get your inhaler.
All right.
Your pants are way too much.
All right, thanks, ladies, and I mean, ladies and AJ, for being on the show.
Thank you. And we'll be back, Julia and Caroline.
Oh, God, the Julia and Caroline show.
At the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
Thanks, good night.
And good night.
You just experienced Juice Box.